don't have to be a plumber to investigate the paranormal. Everyone is welcome to the Para-X Radio Network. Tune in 7 days a week for great shows and special live events. 24 hours a day, Para-X is the place for paranormal talk. So whether you're a plumber or just another axe-throwing dragon, Para-X is your source for everything paranormal.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4.5.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts.
Shaniqua, age 14. Ryan, age 9.
But this isn't about cult statistics. It's about saving kids.
Terrell and Jamal, age 6 months.
Please go to wirelessamberalerts.org. Sign up to get free Amber Alert text messages on your cell phone. When an Amber Alert is issued in the areas you've chosen, you'll receive a free text message. If you spot the vehicle, the suspect, or the child described in the alert, call 911. Sign up today for free at wirelessamberalerts.org. You can imagine what the family of an abducted child is feeling.
Alexander, age 7.
If you actually did help save that child, just imagine what that would feel like. WirelessAmberAlerts.org. A child is calling for help. This message brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
Stick around, all you chatter chicks, because Ghost Chatter is about to start.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
I'm through with standing in line to clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth and I'm never gonna win this. Life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be.
Tell me what you want.
I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs and a bathroom I can play baseball in. That's tough, big enough for 10 plus me.
What you need?
I'll need a credit card that's got no limit and a big black chain with a bedroom in it. Gonna join the Mile High Club at 37,000 feet.
Been done.
I want a new tour bus full of old guitars. Mine star on Hollywood Boulevard. Somewhere between Cher and James Dean is fine for me. Fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name. 'Cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop buses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. Well, I'll stay skinny 'cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up there. Every blade with a bleach blonde hair. And well, hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. Hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. I wanna be great like Elvis without the tassels. Hire 8 bodyguards that love to beat up assholes. Sign a couple autographs so I can eat my meals for free. I'm gonna dress my ass with the latest fashion. Get a front door key to the Playboy Mansion. Gonna date a centerfold that loves to blow my money for me.
So how you gonna do it?
I'm gonna trade this life for fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name. 'Cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop buses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. Well, I'll stay skinny 'cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up there. Every playboy bunny with the bleached blonde hair. And we'll hide out in the private rooms with the latest dictionary of today's who's who. They'll get you anything with that evil smile. Everybody's got a drug dealer on speed. Hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. I'm gonna sing those songs that offend the senses. Gonna pop my pills from a best dispenser. Get washed up singers writing all my songs. Let's sing them every night so I don't get them wrong. Well, we all just
driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. We'll all stay skinny cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars in the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up there. Every playboy bunny with a bleached blonde hair. And we'll hide out in the private rooms with the latest dictionary of today's who's who. They'll get you anything with that evil smile. Everybody's got a drug dealer on speed dial. Well, hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. Hey, be a rock star.
I look up from the bowels of hell, and what do I see? I see Jimmy Morris and Ghost Chatter. Ha 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 ha. And if you are not listening every Wednesday night, I may come and visit you in your dreams. Ha 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 ha.
A place we go when we leave this earth. A place where our voice can never be silenced. The place exists in the paranormal universe, and it remains separated from the reality of the living. But sometimes, the will of the living and the deceased is so strong that it breaks through the barriers that divides the two realities. The voices of the departed are heard once again. We call this Ghost Chatter.
Ghost Chatter.
Now your host, Jimmy Morris.
Hello everyone, I'm Jimmy Morris and welcome to another episode of Ghost Chatter here on the ParaX Radio Network. You know guys, next week will mark the third full year that Ghost Chatter has been here on ParaX. And I've got to say, you know, I'm looking forward to many more here on this network. The time just seems to have flown by over the past few years, but you know I can't believe the tremendous amount of wonderful people that I've met here along the way at ParaX, from fellow show hosts here to the owners of ParaX, right down to the listeners out in the chat room. I mean, that come in here every week. To all my chatter chicks out there, want to just you know say thank you for being here along the way. 3 years is a long time, but hopefully we'll be here for many, many more. Tonight's guest, we're coming on, and I apologize that it took us a couple extra minutes to get on here. We had to throw a few extra commercials out there, but we were working out a little issue of getting our guest on. Many of you out there know him from books that he's done and from seeing him on different shows all across the paranormal. So let's welcome to the show Para Tom. Welcome to Ghost Chatter, Tom.
Hey Jimmy, thanks for having me tonight.
Hey, no problem. I'm glad that you could be here.
I love being it.
So tell us a little bit about who Para Tom is for the two or three people that are listening out there that may not know.
All right, well, who's Para Tom? Para Tom was a name that I was going by when I worked alone, and now ParaTom is actually a small organization of mediums and myself as lead investigator working throughout New England and beyond. So what the main goal is not just ghost hunting, but we're also educating. We want to educate people of all walks, and that was the premise of the book that we had just put out.
Okay, and what got you involved in the paranormal?
Well, that goes back, Jimmy. People that know me know the story of how when I was a little kid, I used to take walks through the old cemeteries with my grandparents. And one day I was walking through an old cemetery in Lexington, Mass, and came across the gravesite of an old colonial boy about 8 years old or so. And I remember bending over in a sympathetic voice and saying to to the little boy in the grave that, you know, if he wasn't happy where he was, he could follow me home. And I'll tell you, that night, I stayed awake all night in total fear that the little boy was going to show himself. And at the time, I was about eight or nine myself, so what did I know?
So at 8 years old, what prompted you to do that? What prompted you to tell this spirit at a grave that they could follow you home?
Well, just like any little kid, you have a little empathy for people. You definitely have the sympathy. 8 year olds are afraid of death. You know, we don't know what to expect. We think it's all dark, and so just seeing the little boy's grave and standing there with my grandparents and. They were talking about this little life that ended back in the colonial days. Your heart goes out to the kid, you know, and that's what it was. Yeah. Nothing more than that.
Had you ever had any type of experiences before that that kind of made you know that, you know, these spirits were around?
No, not really. I mean, and again, as an 8 year old, I surely wasn't talking in the capacity of. Anyone that had any interest in ghosts. Mm-hmm. I was just a little kid talking to a little boy and saying, "Hey, you can come hang out with us, follow us home if you want." And but that was it. I mean, that was the beginning of my love for old New England cemeteries. You know, if you've ever been up to New England, they dot the countryside.
Yes.
You know, I'm not talking like the Arizona cemeteries that have gravestones dating back to 1850 and they think that's a very old stone. Mm-hmm. We have stones here dating back to 1600. Now, people in England that are listening would say, "So what? We have we have stones dating back to 1200.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I'm what they call a tapophile, and that's somebody who just loves the old cemeteries and all the fixings of an old-fashioned funeral, you know. I mean, that stuff still amazes me. Julie and I can still be found in any cemetery taking photographs of the old stones and the carvings, you know.
Yeah. I think the oldest one I've found here in Texas has been, like, 1832.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's old, but it's not old like here in New England. I mean, you'd be amazed at what we have up here.
Yeah, I can imagine. I know some of the ones I've seen over there has been back in the 1700s, and I'm sure they go back further than that.
They sure do. Yeah, so like the 1600s would be considered old here. So
did you ever have any? Did your little colonial boy ever come and visit you from that first incident?
No, he never did. Never did, but I've been back to see him 1,000 times after that. It's right around the corner in Lexington where, you know, Concord, Mass., where the grave of the Redcoats are buried there as well, and that would always be a highlight for me. I mean, to think that there were the Redcoats, the British soldiers, were buried right in that little area, 3 feet by 8 feet, and I'm not sure how many were in there, but, you know, to be a little kid and stand down there looking at that ground and saying, "Wow, you know, geez, you know, that there are some actual Redcoats killed and buried right here in this little plot of land." So, I mean, I've been hooked on the cemeteries all my life.
Yeah, I think I have too. I've always had a kind of a special deal for cemeteries, and you know, I've came across so many investigators over the past 10 years that, you know, they really look down on cemeteries, especially a lot of the new people coming into the paranormal. I mean, right down to the point to where, you know, they look at cemeteries as, you know, that's kind of child's play stuff.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, it goes beyond the ghost hunting and the paranormal. I mean, cemeteries, to me, go into a cemetery and just read. Just read the stones, look at the carvings. At that point, it's about primitive art.
Yes.
You know, it's really fascinating. If you don't know, you know, you want some excitement, go to an old cemetery at night and look at those tympanum stones. The tympanum stones are the classic rounded shape that come down to a little sill on either side and then down.
Yeah.
That's what we call tympanum. And I've always loved that shape, and it just makes you feel like you're connecting with the colonialists that left those stones behind.
Yeah, and what I like too is on a lot of your older stones, you know, your older stones will usually tell a little story about whoever's there. It's not like the ones now. You don't find many new ones that has anything other than, you know, the name, the dates, and that's about it.
Yeah.
A lot of your older ones, you know, they would, the stones would say how they died, how they lived.
Sure. Yeah. And we had done a public event back in November, and before we do an event and bring the public in, Julie and I will go in and we will really do a lot of research on it. Then when we want to pitch the event to the cemetery commission, we do that. We get in front of them and we tell them what we could do for their cemetery, raise funds for their perpetual care and this and that. And she came up with a set of stones that just amazed me, and she did the research on it. There was a family that they kept losing children, and they kept naming the kids the same name until they got one right. Until one survived. It was just amazing. I mean, you can go into an old cemetery and just learn about where we've all come from.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know?
Yeah, and give you a good idea of where you want to go, too, because one of these days, that's where you're headed, too.
It gives you an idea where you're going to go.
Yep.
We cover that in the book as well. We have some nice photographs and some good stones, and I think one of the back pages has a picture of an open grave that I just happened to come across, and on the stone in the book it basically says, is this our last hurrah, and it shows the just an open grave. It's a pretty cool photo, but I just wanted to kind of throw it in there just to. For the theatrics.
Mm-hmm. So, as you got older, at what point did you really start getting involved directly with the paranormal? I mean,
okay, that's a good question, and I could answer that simply. Anyone that knows me, anyone that's been to my site and read anything about me, knows the story of Uncle Lucian's Bell. You know, my ex-wife and I had visited my wife's grandparents after old Uncle Lucian died. That's my wife's great uncle, and he had died through some kind of muscular problems, but his throat and everything else was shutting down, so they had to cut a trach into his throat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this guy would have to ring a bell just to get any kind of help or attention like that. He was bedridden for the last 2 weeks of his life, and he had a little brass bell, and when he needed something, he would ring the bell. So, you know, we went, after he died, we had gone, after the funeral, went over, and we stayed over there for the night, and, you know, just to keep the grandparents company. And there were four adults in the house. And all of a sudden, the bell started ringing. And I'm not kidding you, Jimmy. The thing was ringing. And it was ringing and ringing. We got up. Charlie and I got up. We went up the stairs. And it was acoustically correct. If I turned left, you could hear it. I mean, it was getting closer and very directional. As soon as I put my hand on the doorknob, the ringing stopped. That was the very first time I think anything actually, you know, really happened that was my aha moment. We all have that moment, and that was definitely mine. And I'll tell you, the instant of my first investigation was I lifted up that bell just to see that light coating of dust that you get after a day's settling of the dust, and there was I was looking for drag marks on the television set, and there was nothing. Something made that bell resonate. We don't know what it was, but it was definitely all four of us heard it at the same exact time. And as we got closer to it, it was getting louder. As soon as I hit the doorknob, it stopped. And to this day, I have no clue what it could have been. But, you know, mediums and people that deal with spirit tend to say that this is the way they let us know that they got there okay. It's a courtesy call.
Oh, really? I'd never thought of that, but...
Yeah. They just want to remind you that, yes, I'm gone, I'm here now, I've made it. I've crossed over.
You know, I'm not sure about the cemeteries out there, but I know here, a lot of the older cemeteries, they have that every single one that I know of around here that I've ever been to, any of the old ones, they either have a bell or they had a place where there was a bell.
Yeah, now, do you know why?
No, I can't say that I do.
Well, I could tell you why. Back then, they didn't have the medical facilities to declare you properly dead. So if you were shot, say, out there, and you went into like a almost like a comatose state, and your heart became very faint, and you woke up in the casket, you could ring the bell, and somebody would hear you, and they would dig you out.
Wow.
That's what that's all about. And you can go online and read about that. And so, yeah, that was big in the 1800s. 1800s, maybe even right up to the early 1900s. And it was like an alarm. If they buried you alive, by accident, of course, you'd be able to ring the bell and somebody, it would be hopeful that somebody heard you.
That's very interesting.
I think I'd run for my life. I don't think I would be running for a shovel, though.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
And I guess you're out of luck if you got buried before you made it to the bell.
Yeah, right, or you couldn't reach the bell.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Tom,
I'm sorry.
We're going to jump away here for our first break. Everyone tuning in, please stay tuned. Ghost Chatter will be back here in just a few moments, so stay tuned, guys.
Don't go away. Ghost Chatter will return in just a few moments.
This is Dr. Dave from the Dr. X Show. Join me Sundays at 5 p.m. Eastern for some great music, conversation, and a good time. Hope to see you there.
Do you believe in ghosts? Do you hear strange noises? See apparitions in the shadows or things moving out of the corner of your eye? If you do, you are not alone. Texas Paranormal Research is a professional, federally registered, nonprofit organization that specializes in investigating paranormal activity. If you're experiencing activity and need someone to turn to, we're here for you. Our founder and lead investigator has over 14 years' experience investigating the paranormal and experienced in using equipment such as night vision cameras, digital and analog recorders, motion sensors, laser tracking systems, and thermal imaging systems. Our services are free of charge, and your case is treated strictly confidential. Contact us to discuss your case at www.tprt.org or email help@tprt.org. Texas Paranormal Research, helping those affected by the paranormal, one ghost at a time.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Barney, and I just want to say a special hello to Mr. Lawler. I love you.
Yes? Hi, I'm here for the New York Ghost Tour.
Sorry, we're closed. But you can come back next week.
Next week? Forget that. I'll just go check out another place.
Trust me, there's no place half as interesting as ours, dear.
That's so not true. What about the Shanley Hotel in Napanock?
Once you've been to one haunted hotel, you've been to them all.
Not like this place. The Shanley Hotel dates back to 1845, and since then it's been a hotspot for paranormal activity. Mysterious music, smells, whistling, doors opening, footsteps, almost everything you can imagine has been experienced at that hotel.
It's open to the public?
Absolutely. Sal and Cindy, the owners of the hotel, welcome people for regular stays or investigations, and their rates are beyond reasonable. They even offer workshops and in-house psychics.
How did you learn about this place?
By visiting www.shanleyhotel.com. You can get history, investigation info, and much more.
Thanks, I think I will. Just don't tell any of our customers.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Now we turn to the Ghost Chatter.
Hello, everyone. This is Jimmy Morris, host of Ghost Chatter here on Para-X. We are back from our break. Want to remind everyone who is listening in somewhere other than the internet to come on over if you have access. Jump on to www.para-x.com. Once there, up in the menu bar, click on live chat and come into our interactive chat room. There's tons of people here. Many of them are involved one way or another with the paranormal. We have shows here on Para-X, not only about paranormal, but about shows about spirituality and just all kinds of different things that kind of border in the paranormal realm. So please be sure to come over here and check us out. And we are back with our guest tonight, Paratom. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jimmy.
All right. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about how you got your group started, how that came about, what made you decide to do this undertaking, to create this group that was going to kind of reach out and offer services to, you know, to people to learn more about the paranormal.
All right. Well, years ago, I got my start actually sitting in the old cemeteries and really just honing my skills on trying to do the EVP work. Now, this is years before the ghost hunting shows and the paranormal shows on television that everyone knows. And, you know, just sitting there with the old digital, actually not digital, but the old tape recording recorders, the little micro cassettes, maybe before your time. They had the little mini tapes and just sit there at night and... As time went by, it got a little later and later and later, and by the time I was ready to actually start working with a group, there was nobody that would have me. I mean, they were all too busy doing what they were doing, and, you know, I mentioned this in my book, and it was harder than I thought to get into any kind of an organization that took it as seriously as I wanted to. And so when I wasn't getting responses back, I decided to just really start my own thing. And it didn't matter to me about having members or anything else like that. And I investigated places that I always thought was active. And... You know, one night, as my son got a little older, I brought him along on one, and he was able to hold a video camera for me, and so we went to different parts of the cemetery and things like that, and, you know, when I was really ready to step out of the cemeteries and into the actual investigations, there was somebody putting on a demonstration, which I figured I'd go down and try it out. I had already figured out my own procedures and this and that. So I wanted to see how somebody else actually started an organization and how they would handle it. And I went, and they were running around like kids. Mm-hmm. And it was against everything that I believed was the proper way to do an investigation. So that night I promised myself that... one of my goals was going to be educating, whether it's the public or groups, clubs, you know, teams, whatever you want to call them. So I'm billed as a freelance paranormal investigator, so I'm not really connected to any other group other than myself, which is good because I can run my own investigations. I can do my own events. I could jump into other people's events without worrying about any kind of contractual agreements like that some of these entertainment companies put you through. So I'm basically my own agent. I have Julie Williams as my manager. She handles all the contacts, and she gets everything set up where we do fantastic with the public groups. But before we do any investigation, we always give an hour or so of lecture and instruction. Again, our mission is to educate people of all walks so they get to understand what the paranormal world is all about.
Now, how do you guys go about doing that? Do you have classes that you guys do?
Yeah, actually, we do workshops in different metaphysical shops. We do, you know, we will get out there. We offer, we offer the workshops. We do public events. Public events being some locations. If we find a nice venue, we'll rent that hall for the evening or whatever it is. Like we're just coming off of Tenney Gatehouse in Methuen, Massachusetts. That was a Paratom event, and that was sold out. It was standing room only during the lecture. So people are starting to know who we are. As far as you know, if they want an education, they're going to come and find us. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we're still doing our private home investigations. We're asked to investigate businesses, things like that. So we are getting out there. Our name is out there. You know, we have a lot of people that are asking us to compile all our information and, you know, our procedures. And everything that we do is our own procedure that of our own design. And we seem to be getting better results with that.
Well, that's definitely a very cool thing to be doing, especially, you know, with the amount of people out there now that have an interest in the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone listening out there, just to let you know, if you have a question for Paratom, feel free, if you're out in the chat room, to private message me the question. If you're listening elsewhere or want to call in, the phone line is open at 325-200-4512. Again, the number to call in is 325-200-4512. And I had a question earlier that popped in the chat room, and they wanted to know what your most scariest experience has been in the paranormal.
Well, okay, in the paranormal or my scariest situation on an investigation?
Well, you know, they didn't say. I'm assuming they meant paranormal, but, I mean, whatever.
I could answer two of those. The first one is my scariest, I think the scariest event during an investigation was I was in the cellar of an old Victorian home. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was working by myself down in that cellar. And I could hear something, and it just sounded so far away, and it was coming closer and closer. And I broke my procedure, and I flipped the light on, and I was just about sitting on a nest of baby raccoons, and Mama was coming at me. And so I dropped my equipment, and I bolted out of there pretty darn quick. Nothing worse than a mean and an angry mother raccoon trying to protect her kids. So I sat on the wrong crate that night. But I think the scariest, well, not the scariest. It's very rare that I really get scared. But we were doing an investigation in Marlborough, Massachusetts, and all of a sudden, we have a procedure that we do. It's 20 minutes of silence. At the start of every investigation, and what we do is we want to just sit and listen to the building. We want to listen to everything that the building has to give us, mm-hmm. whether it's creaking floor, rattling glass, leaky pipes, gurgling pipes, whatever. We want to listen to that for 20 minutes and try to get an idea of what's going on in the building itself. anything after that 20 minutes and it's something new that hasn't repeated, that's something we want to start the investigation with. Mm-hmm. And, well, during the 20 minutes of silence, I was sitting in a study, and my rest of my my team for that evening was sitting out in the living room with the homeowners, so we knew where every living soul was. All of a sudden, I got really cold, and I looked down at the monitor, and right outside the door was camera three, and there was a fog, like a mist rolling past the camera and into the room that I was in. And when I tell you, it was something that, you know, it just like froze me to the bone. And I started going out to see if anyone else had seen this. And my manager, Julie, was coming in to tell me that we needed to start an EVP because she saw something just as I was seeing the fog. I saw fog. She saw a black, like a black formless shape. That right where we saw it. So we both saw it at two different angles. And that one really got me concerned because it physically touched me as far as putting a chill right down me. You know what I mean? And I was cold. And it was 68 degrees in that house with an ambient humidity of 30%. Mm-hmm. So we have no clue where this would have come from.
Wow. That's definitely something to get your spook meter going.
Yeah, another time was Lenox, Mass. And I was with some people, and we were just getting ready to go down a dark hallway. And right out in front of me at 1 o'clock, in front of me, 2 feet out, I got a sigh, you know, right in my face. And it was like somebody stood right in front of me and breathed right at me. And I had to put my headlight on that one, and there was nothing. I was thinking, well, maybe that there's something, you know, coming from the walls, some air being blown around. Didn't know what it was. Never found out what that one was. That was at the Edith Wharton House. And the stable is ferociously haunted. I mean, they see things all the time there, and I experienced that firsthand. So, I mean, we've had some good things over the years.
Yeah, that's really cool. I want to move on a little bit because I don't want to run out of time on you here, and our time is slowly slipping away. I want to talk a little bit more about your book. Can you tell us about this? Go ahead and give us the name of it, why you wrote this book, and kind of what it's about.
Okay, the name of the book that's now out on Kindle, it's released on Amazon.com right now, is Paratom's Guide to Paranormal Investigations by Tom Lynch and Julie Williams. And it's a 114-page how-to guide. It's all the procedures that we follow when we're doing a paratom investigation. You know, this book is a direct result of people asking us, hey, you know what you're doing, you have a lot of information, why don't you have it in a book form? And I looked at Julie and I said, hey, you want to do it? And she said, sure, why not? And we put the book together. We have some great photographs in there. It's a nice colorful design to catch your eye when you go into the store. It'll be available at Barnes & Noble and all these other stores in about 6 weeks. It's just out now. Again, it's on Kindle. You can get it at Amazon.com. You can buy it at our website, paratom.com. If you buy it from our site, you buy it for $9.99. And what you get is a signed copy, a signed numbered copy of the book. And you save a couple of bucks that way.
Cool. So everyone who's out there tuning in, be sure that you know, you try to pick up a copy of this book. And what would you say this book is targeted to? I mean, is it targeted just to someone who wants to read ghost stories? Is it targeted toward people who want to really learn about the paranormal? Or is it kind of inclusive?
Well, it's definitely, it's not the book. If you're looking for ghost stories, this is not the book. This book is... What this book will do is show you how to, and this is, it's good for people that are in the field, people that want to learn how to get into the field, veteran investigators, and it's just a great book. It tells you how to get your name out there, tells you how to meet the client. And I can go down the list of sections. It's setting up your investigative unit, initial contact with the client, preparing for the investigation. The investigation starts in 10 minutes, 20 minutes of silence, stay together or break up, gathering evidence, conducting field experiments. Very important, listeners, if you're doing the investigations, you want to kind of do some sort of experimentation while you're there. Just spend a little bit of time, try something, throw a ball out there, see what happens. Wrapping up the investigation, giving it back to the client. Mediums, I love my mediums. Like to use them on the investigation, so I have a section here. Section 11 is mediums on a paranormal investigation. Meet the investigative unit. It's a little section where each of the people that I do handpick, they got a little blurb in there for themselves, a photo, and how they got into it. Then there's a section on photographs, and at the very back of the book, there's a little section where you use as a notebook. If you're taking notes while you're reading and you want to jot it down, there's a little bit of space there. But let me clarify to you and the listeners, I don't have a team. I have the luxury of handpicking my mediums for the night. I have people that are my support staff that will be willing to come out on an investigation. They don't belong to paratom.com, but they work for me as I need them, so I can hand pick who I need to customize my staff for the investigations.
Well, that's definitely an advantage, especially if you have really qualified and bona fide mediums. I mean, they're such a great asset to have on an investigation.
Yeah. Well, it really is. I mean, if you don't use a medium, if you don't use someone with those skills, you're losing so much information. I'm looking at the website, at the Para X chat room, mm-hmm. And I just want to have a shout out to Lizzie up in Canada. Hi, Lizzie, how you doing? And everyone else that's listening, I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Yeah, I gave Lizzie a K2 meter a couple years ago to kind of help her out.
Yep, and she still has it too because I talked to her quite a bit, and she still has the K2 meter and a book, I believe, that you had sent her. She mentioned about.
Oh yeah, that was. I think that might have been a book on New England gravestones or something like that. I'm not sure. I can't remember what that one was, but I sent her a couple of things to get her going in the field, and I understand she's doing quite well now, so that's good.
She is, and we are going to jump away here, Tom, for another quick break, if you can just hold on the line a couple more minutes. And everyone tuning in, please stay tuned. We will be back here in just a few moments, guys, so stay tuned.
I'm through with one ghost shows on my TV station. See them fake evidence on their investigations. The shows never turn out quite the way I want them to be.
Tell me what you want.
I want an investigator who won't run away and still has my respect at the end of the day. And an IR picture that looks like something to me.
Tell me what you need.
I need an internet credit card that's got no limit and a big black van with an office in it. Everyone in the chat room screams when they know it's me.
Been there, done that.
I want a room full of cameras and laptops too. Want my videos to be huge on YouTube. Somewhere between daps and gags is fine with me.
How you gonna do it?
Gonna trade this life for paraglam fame. Keep my dignity, won't disgrace my name. Cause we all just wanna be big para stars, living in haunted houses, going to haunted bars. The ghosts come messy and the equipment ain't cheap. We all stay tired, but just don't sleep. And we'll hang out in the Para X chat.
those big and gold hats. Every ghost tunnel's gonna wind up there. Every ghost chatter chick with the least fun there. And hey, yeah, I wanna be a Paris star. Hey, I wanna be a Paris star. I wanna be great like Hands without the hassle. Take a trip overseas to ghost hunt some castles. Sign a couple of autographs so I can get in Wavy Hills for free.
I'll take the third floor.
I'm gonna dress myself in a pair of fashions. Get a front door key to the Winchester Mansion. Gonna start a great team so they can ghost hunt with me.
So how you gonna do it?
I'm gonna trade this life for a pair of glam fame. Keep my dignity, won't disgrace my name. Cause we all just wanna be big pair of stars. Living in haunted houses, going to haunted bars. The ghosts come easy and the equipment ain't cheap. We all stay tired, we just won't sleep. And we'll hang out in the barracks chat. Watching Dave and Jimmy with those big and gold hats. Every ghost hunter's gonna wind up there. Every ghost chatter chick with the bleached blonde hair. And we'll sit down in the darkest rooms with the latest recordings and today's cartoons. We'll capture every ghost within 1,000 miles. Everybody's got a fever now, just on speed dial. Well, hey, hey, I wanna be a pair of stars. I'm gonna prove there's ghosts using thermal sensors. Gonna pop no dose from a pest dispenser. I'll get washed up, investigators working on my...
Don't touch that dial. Chatter will return in a few moments.
Now we return to the Ghost Chatter.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Ghost Chatter. My name is Jimmy. I'm the host here on Ghost Chatter on Parax Radio, and we are back with our special guest tonight, Paratom, and we're also joined by another guest here on Ghost Chatter. You guys know her out in the chat room. Those of you that who have hung around, she's our chatter chick from the north. So welcome to the show, Lizzie Oldroyd. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, how you doing, Elizabeth?
I'm doing good. Thank God it's not cold here.
Yeah.
Is it ever not cold in Canada?
We've been freezing. Remember how much I've been complaining about, like, the minus 30 degrees? Well, finally we got a break. It's raining.
Well, and in Canada, during this time of the year, that usually means it's snowing. If not, it's going to be here pretty quick. Hey, Tom, I got a couple more questions that came in out in the chat room. One person wanted to know what you would consider proof of a haunting.
What is proof of a haunting?
Yes.
Proof of a haunting is something that doesn't fit within the realm of normalcy for that area. I remember I just discussed the fog rolling through a living room at 68 degrees. It would have almost been like somebody had opened up a shower door. Mm-hmm. And I saw it through the monitors, through the infrared, as a fog. My mediums saw that as a black shapeless form. And there was nothing that would have... It's like if you were sitting in your living room in a warm room and you have a bank of fog come rolling through. You know, that's a manifestation as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we looked around, we checked everything. We were down the basement. There's nothing there that would have... there was nothing there that would have created such a fog or a mist. But at the same time, the K2 meters were going off and everything else, and those are the cheapest pieces of equipment. So you need to know your equipment. If you know your technology, it's going to help you. If you don't know what you're doing with the K2s and this and that, and I say K2 because that's what the public knows. That's what the public expects.
Yeah.
I could tell you the Melmeter is another cheap, very stingy piece of equipment about giving off false readings. that thing was going off. So, I mean, I had my mediums feeling it. They were seeing it. I was seeing it, and I recorded it. It was a recordable event. And to me, that's paranormal. That's my proof of paranormal.
Okay, and there's one other question that came through I want to get to, and then I don't know, we'll talk a little more. I don't know if we'll have time for any other ones. This question that came in, it's about you guys' procedures and how you handle things, and they wanted to know how you guys handle EVPs and provocations. You know, do you guys do any type of provoking, or what's your view on that?
Well, when we're doing an investigation, we always show respect. We talk to a spirit the same way that we're going to talk to you or someone else that we're dealing with. You know, we always try to stay professional in the field. We've tried the provocation before, and it gets some people upset. And if I start getting a little bit harsh with my my EVP questions, I'm quickly reminded by one of my guest mediums or what have you to say please or thank you or this and that. And you know, I could get a little gruff, and I'll tell you, you don't get anything any different than if you were being polite. So why be gruff about it when you can be polite about it?
Exactly.
That way, everybody around the circle's happy. You know, I don't look like some sort of a dope that is showing any kind of disrespect, not just to the spirit or my mediums, but the homeowners are there. It's like a store that sells bunnies around Easter time. Nobody likes that anymore. So you just kind of have to go by what these people are looking for, and they want to have a calm event. When we go to places like Buffalo Central Terminal and this and that, and there's no public around, then let's have at it. But other than that, let's have some common courtesies.
Absolutely. And one other question that popped in, we'll go ahead and squeeze this one in there. They wanted to know if you ever investigated, I guess it's pronounced the Hoosick or Holzick tunnels in Florida, Mass.
No, we were all set to do that. That's Western Mass, and we were set to do that, and that one fell through. That's right next to the Houghton Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen that on one of the TV shows.
Yes.
And we were going to go and train with another group down in that area. I forget what town is that.
What is it? They said it was like Florida, Massachusetts.
No, not. Oh, it might be Florence. Maybe. No, I'm not sure where it is. It's. It would come to me, but let's talk about other things. That's in Western Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Houghton Mansion is right next door to that. And I've heard some great things about that tunnel, actually. A lot of activity there. But again, I have this ever-loving fear of raccoons, and I would hate to walk into an area that might have some wild critters, rabid critters living in there. I worry more about them than I do the spirits.
Yeah. Hey, Liz, what is your take on spirit provoking, and what do you think about it?
Actually, I don't want to, you know, discredit him in any way, but I think spirit provoking is actually a very dangerous thing to do. Only because, well, for obvious reasons, I've actually tried spirit provoking once, and I swear I will never, ever do it again. It just didn't turn out right. And I was very polite, and I was very kind and courteous, and I did talk to it like as if it was a real person,
mm-hmm.
but it ended up having a different effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, and I think a lot of people too, especially in the paranormal field, you know, there's a wide kind of interpretation of what provoking is. Some people will interpret, you know, someone saying something like, you know, why did you do this, or how come you're not doing this, or using like a more stern tone is provoking. You know, I tend to think provoking is, you know, when you really start being disrespectful. Disrespectful right. is where I think you cross the line yep. between, you know, provoking and not provoking.
Well, there's provoking, if you're talking provoking being a stern voice, that's one thing.
Yeah.
If you're worthless, I'm glad you're dead, blah, 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 whatever, it's not called for, and I'll guarantee if there's a homeowner there, you won't be invited back.
Exactly.
Well, me, though, the thing is with spirits, though, is, of course, as I told you, Jimmy, I've never had the need to even ask them to come to me because they always just do. Remember, I keep teasing and saying, you know, they must have some line or something of communication because somebody's got to call them and tell me what's going and tell them that, you know, I'm there and I can hear them because they often just show up.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we're down to our last minute, so we're going to have to cut it loose here. But, Tom, I want to give you one last opportunity to tell everyone where they can go to pick up your book.
Okay. Paratom's Guide to Paranormal Investigations, written by Julie Williams and myself. It's a collection of all our procedures on a paratom investigation. Right now you can pick it up at www.paratom.com for $9.99. Get the signed copy. It'll be signed and numbered when you get it. You can go to amazon.com and order the electronic version of the book. For England, you can go to amazon.uk and you can get it there as well. So if we have any Brits over there listening in, feel free to purchase the book. We went international on January 31st, so the book is selling around the world already in e-form. Don't miss out. It's a great book. It's a great collection of how-to.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for coming on tonight. And for everyone who was tuning in, big thanks from Ghost Chatter. Look forward to seeing you guys here next week when Ghost Chatter returns. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Jimmy. Good night.
Normal and paranormal close, and Ghost Chatter begins to fade away. But when the will of the living and the departed is strong enough to break through the barriers, Ghost Chatter will be heard once again. Your host, Jimmy Morris, welcomes you back next week when Ghost Chatter returns on the Para-X Radio Network.
You have been listening to the Para-X Radio Network.